Hello, and thank you for listening to the Mobygasmic podcast. Today is Thursday, March 19th, and we've got a number of things to go over today. You may have noticed from looking at the blog that a lot has changed since my last podcast, especially regarding my opinions of the BlackBerry Bold, and that is, in fact, my main device right now. The HTC Fuse is up on eBay, and hopefully I'll find a nice home for it. At the end of the day, the battery life was the main deciding factor why I couldn't stay with the Fuse. And as time went on, the BlackBerry software and OS started to grow on me. And as they leaked more and more revisions of the OS, they improved. And I have to say, I like it. I do like it. There are a number of things software-wise that have made me more enthusiastic than I was, and I'll just quickly go over them. The first one is Berry Buzz, which is an application that flashes your LED lights in different colors depending on what notification is going off. So this is great for me because I don't use sound profiles while I'm at work, and with this software I can get a blue notification to let me know I've got a new email, versus a red LED flashing to tell me that I've missed a call, or purple for instant messaging and so on. It's a really great application. It's very inexpensive. It's under $5. And it also has some other functions as well. So the next one is Quick Launch, which is a shortcut program. You map it to one of your convenience keys, and when you press them, you have a little list of applications that you can open. It also has a nice device information screen. For me, this is invaluable because I never remember what my PIN number is, and it just gives me a quick way to look it up, look at how much memory I have, my battery life, and my IMEI number if I need that. So it's a good one to use. The other program, which actually probably sold me on the BlackBerry Bold in the first place, is Social Scope, which is an application that combines Facebook and Twitter into one easy-to-read, easy-to-use list. You can tweet from it. You can update your Facebook status from it. You can see a preview of what pictures your Facebook contacts have uploaded, as well as a preview of what pictures your Twitter followers or followees have uploaded onto TweetPic. So it's just a really nice application. It has a lot of tweaks that you can do to maximize your battery life if that's an issue, depending on how often you actually use it. Next is Pandora, which is actually new to me. I just started using that yesterday. I already have become very addicted to a Pandora on the desktop. I use it at work. I use it at home. I really tweak my stations to how I want them to sound, and to be able to have this on my BlackBerry as well is really excellent. And then there's PodTrapper. It's a fairly new a new release. The developer's been working hard on it. It still has a ways to go. He's charging, I think it's $10 for the application. I go back and forth on whether I think it still has a ways to go. There are a couple of quirks in it that need to be worked out, but overall it does great for downloading video and audio podcasts and managing those files. And then there's Facebook 1.5, which was leaked over in CrackBerry last week. I've been using that. I like it. It could have more features. I'm really hopeful for Facebook 2.0 and what that will bring. What's missing on the BlackBerry platform, and I guess I'm speaking specifically of BlackBerry Bold because I've not had any luck in finding these, is a YouTube player. You can use the YouTube mobile website, but the quality of the playback is horrendous. So I really wish that somebody would develop an application that took advantage of the BlackBerry Bold screen and the 3G connectivity to really give you a killer YouTube application. The calendar does not support categories. It would be good to have that. And if you decide to use multiple calendars by email account, you are limited on what you can show on the Today screen because the Plasmic, which is the platform used to develop the Today Plus screens, only shows the calendar entries that are on your default calendar. So if you have a separate calendar for work versus home, it won't show up. One of them will not be showing up. I've talked a lot about the BlackBerry Bold battery life, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm a bit obsessed when it comes to battery life. It's because I don't understand how I've been talking about the same thing for 3, 4, 5 years, and we're still where we were back then. The amount of money that we spend on devices these days, we really should be getting a device that can last a whole day regardless of your use. And there shouldn't be such crazy and wild variations. On forums, you always see somebody who says, I'm getting 3 days, somebody who is barely getting through a day, somebody who has to recharge at noon. It doesn't make any sense. It should be one solid battery that can stand up to the most brutal of abuse. That you should, you know, run a video, put it on Wi-Fi, put the Bluetooth on, talk on the phone, and have it be able to do that for a good, solid number of hours is what I think. And, you know, my daily routine for using my battery is I usually take it off the charge at 7 o'clock. I use it periodically throughout the day, browsing here and there. There's a period in the afternoon where I use it pretty heavily for an hour, which is at lunchtime, and I'm usually watching a movie using the Bold. At the end of the workday, I usually go home with about 30 or 40% of battery life left. Again, random browsing here or there. I may have an occasional conversation on the phone. I really am not a phone person, so it doesn't happen too often. But occasionally, there will be a phone call that could go for about half an hour or so combined. So that's my usage. I get a day. I'm debating on whether to spend the money to get the 1650 Sadio battery for the Bold. But at $50, I really have to think hard. The stock battery on the Bold is about 1550 milliamps. So to spend $50 for 100 milliamps seems a bit extravagant, even though a lot of people are saying that it makes all the difference. So I'm going to be debating that over the next couple of days. The next thing I want to talk about is the Palm Pre and just how long can they possibly drag out the hype on the Palm Pre. They keep having webcasts and stockholders praising the device, and, you know, I'm all for it. It sounds great. Bring it out already. What's going to happen now, and the slippery slope that they're going to, is that they have built such a crescendo of hype that they are not going to be able to live up to it. And they're going to have a lot of really irate people, because it's one thing when you're looking forward to a device. It's another thing when you're looking so incredibly forward to it and for such a long time. And, I mean, the slightest thing people already nitpick at, it's just, it's going to be, they really need to take advantage and at least have people able to say, well, at least they brought it out in a timely fashion. The device, there's a lot of hope being attached to it as well. And the only thing that's confusing to me is why they have tied themselves to Sprint. I know that they are talking about the GSM version being released, and I'm sure it will be. But the problem is, the exclusivity with Sprint will prevent them from doing that except after X number of months. CDMA is a dying technology. It's not something that I think we're going to see in 5, 10 years from now. I could be wrong. I mean, I know Sprint has a very powerful network, but I just don't see why. I don't understand the decision, and it seems a bit of an oxymoron. They seem to be touting the Pre as the last device you'll ever need, but the caveat is until Sprint is no longer, or until you switch over to GSM or plan on traveling internationally, so in which case you'll need a second phone. So that's my thought on that. The iPhone 3.0 was released. Was announced, and all the features were explained, and there is finally cut and paste on the iPhone. So I will be forced to stop my snarky comments on the iPhone not being able to do something as basic as cut and paste. And I expect it will be any day now that we see a commercial on TV touting cut and paste as only on the iPhone, as they say with the rest of their items. It will annoy me, but I'm sure they will do it. The subscription model that they announced, I really hope it's implemented properly. I don't know too much about how they sell applications currently, but I do know that they have categories for free versus paid apps. I can only hope that they will include subscription apps as a separate category so that you know going in. And also, when you go in, you know what you're buying and what you will need to spend more money on. The games with more levels, I hope they will be obligated to say you are buying 5 levels and then you will need to subscribe to more, as opposed to here's the game and you play with no idea of how many levels they actually are, because that will be really disappointing if they don't do that. And then for the maps, I started thinking about how they would implement the maps using the subscription model, and I can only hope that they do this in a way that you buy maps and you know exactly what map you're buying and what area it covers. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than driving along with your turn-by-turn directions and you finally get to the end of a road and a pop-up comes up and says, do you want to buy the rest of this map? I mean, that would be really horrible. But having said that, I'm sure it will probably come to that on at least one application, I'm sure. So it remains to be seen. One of the things that came up recently was the Google Sync for BlackBerry, and it has the combination of the Google Sync being available and the categories not being supported in BlackBerry have led me to begin to live a life in the cloud, as it's called, and I have started using the Google Calendar feature. I created separate calendars and color-coded them and shared them, and I'm using shared calendars, and actually even I'm using something called Twistery, which pulls all your Twitter entries into your calendar if you want that as a category. It's all been very, very beneficial, I have to say. I've always been a very strong supporter of Microsoft Outlook, but this business with a Google Calendar makes me wonder why I'm so tied to Outlook, which is, for me, has always been tied to one computer. Even if you can think of an enterprise, when you do that and it's not through a company, you always have to go. I was using Mail to Web, and you would have to go to the website to see it. So why not use Google Calendar, which is so easy, which is so simple, which is so exchangeable with other people? It just makes a lot of sense. The combination of using that and using Evernote as really my note application, even though there isn't an Evernote program available for the BlackBerry, has really taken away my heavy reliance on Outlook. And the only thing I'm missing now is tasks. And if anybody has any ideas, I tried using, I think it's called Don't Forget the Milk or Remember the Milk, which are websites that have little check marks. I'm not terribly thrilled with them. I mean, they will do, but I would like to find something more robust that can do what Google Calendar can do. And I'm going to check later, and I will be mortified and embarrassed if I find out there is something like Google Tasks or something along those lines, but I doubt it.